Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life is celebrating its 30th year of ministry this year, 30 years of transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. New Life Live is dedicated to helping you in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hello, Larry Sonnenberg sitting in for Steve today. I'm blessed to be in between Dr. Alice Benton.
Hi.
And Dr. Sherry Keffer.
Hey.
And thank you guys for being here. You'll make it all happen. I want to remind everybody or to announce everybody, if you're not aware, that today is the National Day of Prayer. And I was looking, Lisa, our producer, was so kind to give a little paper on that. And this has a history that goes back to 1775, even before our country began with the Second Continental Congress. But the actual statement that about the National Day of Prayer is that it's an annual day of observance held on the first Thursday of May. And it's designated by the U.S. Congress when people are asked to turn to God in prayer and meditation. And each year since its inception, the president has signed a proclamation encouraging all Americans to pray on this day. You know, one of the things I want to talk about just real briefly with you is that As a program that deals with psychological and emotional issues and things, a lot of our counsel isn't just to go pray about it. But we believe in prayer. And I just want the folks out there to know that the bottom line for New Life, and it's in our mission statement, is Scripture trumps everything, but we believe in the psychological principles and that biblical principles come together and can work together really well. And I just wondered if you had any comments or thoughts about that.
You know, it's so funny as you say that, because they might not realize all y'all that are listening that when you call, I mean, I don't know about you, Allison.
Praying.
I'm
yeah.
praying. I'm actually praying that the Lord would help me hear what they're saying, help me hear what they're not saying. It's like I rely on him. Alice often, before we go on, she says,
she's the best.
She's like, can we pray? You
before
know?
We start.
And so it is our lifeblood here. Mm-hmm. And it's so much a part of what we do, infused into it. It's just not the only thing, right? That's kind of
right.
What there's so many layers to healing and wounds that we've got to touch them all often when we're trying to get free from something.
And the theme this year for the National Day of Prayer is Pray for America, Unity. And that seems to be such a necessary thing. I mean, we've all feel divisiveness wherever you look these days. If the left says one thing, the right is against it, and vice versa. And there needs to be a more unification, not just in spirit, but in substance of what we do.
And sometimes, often prayer is warring for something. So you might even say pray for unity, but then the first thing you think is, well, why should I pray for unity? Because it's not going to happen.
Right.
Well, that is against, it's really warring. It's pressing in and saying, God, we've got a problem here. We need your intervention.
Well, and Larry, as you said, the Bible is our foundation, but mm-hmm. to put into practice what the Bible says, sometimes we have to set the Bible down and go interact with people to live it out, to live in community.
Yes.
We've got to get face-to-face with people, and prayer has a way of, it has such a power when it comes from a righteous person, and it can bring unity, it can bring us back together.
And how many times are there one another's in Scripture,
mm-hmm.
you know, to pray for one another, to help one another, to confess to one another. Our one another's are everywhere, and we just believe that God created us to be in community, and we might do something or experience something that's very painful, but the healing will come in community. So Stay tuned. We're going to be back, and we're going to take your calls on any subject, and we look forward to helping you. Give us a call at 800-NEW-LIFE if you can help us. We have a $235,000 matching gift we're trying to wrap up. So we'll be back right after this.
My story includes multiple physical and emotional affairs.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
My wife found out that I had betrayed her. She insisted that I would go to the everyman's battle. I had some idea, perhaps, of what to expect, but I had no idea that it would have the impact on me that it did. There's just something about the way that you meet in a large group and then the smaller breakout groups. And the sharing is just something that I've never experienced before.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
This is the first time in my life that I ever felt comfortable in sharing the real me with other men. In my mind, it is one of the most critical things that a guy can do in his recovery.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, welcome back. Well, I mentioned just before going to that break that we have this matching gift. For any gift that is given this month, we'll send you a thank you. And the thank you is Making Peace with Your Father by Dr. Dave Stoop. And Dave has quite a story, quite a history. He's a guru in forgiveness, and he's experienced struggles with his father, only forgave his father after his father died. And it's an amazing story by an amazing man. So you would love that book. Well, let's go to the phones, you guys. Let's go to Frederick in Maryland on line one. He listens on WAVA, W-A-V-A. Barry, how can we help you today?
Yes, this is Barry, and I am calling. First of all, I wanted to thank you very much for the prayers. That means so much. I do have a sister who is in her early 60s, and I'm just a couple of years the junior. And I've been taking care of her for the last 4 years. She has severe depression and anxiety. And the situation is that when she first came down with this, she was working, and she was working locally and seemed like things were fine. But however, both my parents within a 5 to 7 year period had passed away. And I guess with my sister being very close to my mother, she just had a meltdown at around age 60. And she went to see a primary care physician, and I just thought it odd that the primary care physician was prescribing medicines such as Zoloft, which had a really, really harmful effect for her. She was burning up. She was just burning up and having problems with this, but we didn't know what was going on, and I didn't know that she was being prescribed Cetraline. But apparently this was a drug that after a while of just starting to take it, she was sending messages to her friends saying that she wanted to take her life. I said, wow, this is just coming way out of nowhere. And then finding out that these drugs are black box drugs, they have these warnings that you can have suicide. You have Cetraline, you have Cymbalta, Celexa. Maybe Alice and Sherry can give me a little bit of information as to why the HIPAA doesn't allow, to just share that a loved one, like a brother, would be able to know that she's starting on this type of a medication from a primary care physician, so that I would know, okay, there's this possibility that as you start taking
That's a good
this,
question.
Either you'd have a very bad reaction.
You know, I think it's kind of crazy making too myself, Barry, especially in situations like this. HIPAA is there actually to protect confidentiality. And I got to tell you, there's so many times where I'm really grateful it's there. But she could actually, your sister could actually sign a release so that you could communicate with her physicians. And that might be kind of part of your care pack, right? Since you seem to be the one that's taking care of her, that's like, hey, sis, since I'm, you know, intervening with you and doing all these other things, it's going to be something I'm going to ask of you so that if I have a question, I can just reach out. If I see something that maybe you're not noticing, I can get some help for it. So you can ask her to sign a HIPAA. I have clients that do that with a loved one. So, and we talked about this on a later show, Barry, that we did together. There are now tests that psychiatrists, and I don't know that all of them have it. I think it's something the last couple of years that's coming out. But they can give your sister a test to see what her brain responds to and what it doesn't. And what I've been finding in my practice is that it cuts down these more harmful reactive drug reactions that happen. They can kind of, they don't even use some drugs because they're like, yeah, your brain's not going to go well with that. So that might be something that you think about for your sister.
And Barry,
right, well, she ended up going, you know, leaving Zoloft to go to Cymbalta, and at that point she went way up on it, and then she had a serotonin syndrome and was hospitalized for 3 months. So when she came down off the Celexa, they switched to a tricyclic drug, which is called nortriptyline pamelor. And then to find out all of my research that I did on that with a PharmD at Bethesda, she ended up getting a movement disorder with her head rocking back and forth. And
yeah,
it wasn't until we finally got all these medications out of her, finding a psychiatrist who got these medications way down and finally resolved and on supplements, that all these movement disorders went away.
Yes. We get the picture, Barry.
Yeah, it's complicated.
Alice,
it's really,
you had something you wanted to add?
Well, Barry, I think historically psychiatry has been a great deal of art versus science, where it has been a guessing game previously, and we're not always sure how people will respond to different medications. So Zoloft works great for a lot of people. And I would guess your sister might be more sensitive to medications and might have stronger reactions than most people. But it is very difficult for family members, as psychiatrists have had to guess what will work well. Then you have to wait long enough to see if the side effects go away, because they usually do go away in about 2 to 4 weeks, and then getting to a therapeutic level, therapeutic dosage. So the process takes quite a long time, and it can be very difficult. I want to add just a piggyback on what Sherry had said, because although clinicians cannot share patient's information without that release from the patient, you can always talk to the clinician or the physician. So you can at least provide information about your sister, and you've probably learned that along the way. We can always hear what you have to say. We can't necessarily disclose what we're working on with the patient, but it's been very helpful for me to get information from family members that help inform my practice. The last thing I want to speak to is that black box warning, and I want to hear Sherry's take on this too. My understanding is that it's a misnomer that it actually causes suicidal thoughts. The medication can't insert suicidal thoughts into a person's head. Mm. Rather, my understanding is that the suicidal thoughts are already there, or the morbid thinking is already there. And what the medication does is increases a person's energy, motivation, and focus. And the danger of that is that if the thoughts of death and suicide are already there, and now they're more focused and energized, there's a higher risk of them following through with those thoughts if they're not getting the adequate treatment for the suicidal portion of the thoughts. So I don't believe the medication causes the thoughts, but rather almost enables a person to follow through on thoughts that are already there. But good treatment and good evaluation of that in hand in hand with the medication is still the most recommended combination for dealing with depression.
Well, and then let's look at one last thing. In light of that, what unraveled her in the first place was the death of her mom and dad. And so sometimes people have unresolved grief. They have not they have not dealt with that deep loss. If she was really tight with her mom and then lost her, she might even want to die to be with my mom. I mean, those kind of thoughts which seem irrational but yet make kind of sense in our wounded heart. So she really needs some good treatment, maybe even some EMDR to help get into those deeper wounds and deeper letting go to heal. You know, we can medicate depression all day long, but a lot of times we've got to get to that root of the problem and feel it out.
Yes.
So, Barry, thanks for your call. We're going to send you Understanding and Loving a Person with Depression. I hope that will help you. Let's go to talk with Lisa. She's on line 3, also listens on WAVA from Landover, Maryland. Hello, Lisa. How can we help you?
Yes, hello. Hi. My question was, why do I do what I do? I have everything to be organized, from file cabinets to color folders to label makers. And even the company that I keep, my friends are prompt, they organize, they're on time. And my thoughts are racing, but my body moves like a turtle. And I want to know why I do this, why I procrastinate and don't get it done.
Sounds exhausting, Lisa.
It is.
Yeah, it sounds exhausting.
I think it's probably really common, too.
Well, yes, yes, but what I'm hearing with you, possibly, is that you have an overactive anxiety center, an overactive cingulate gyrus, which it could be in the OCD category. And someone in that OCD category, OCD spectrum, feels the need to have things be in control all the time, be organized all the time. And they have anxiety if it's not. And so that can be an exhausting lifestyle that you've got to address. Those folks have a harder time letting it go. Those folks have a harder time with imperfect situations. And so that anxiety drives you to the point of fatigue. It's not good for us. And really, it's kind of why the Lord said, he invites us to look at how much we worry. Because he says, worry is not good for us. Worry is not good for any of us. But you kind of have more of a worrier brain and may need some counseling or some intervention with supplements or medication, something like a GABA. And I'm not really allowed to make medical recommendations, but like a GABA, Dr. Amen has a GABA Calm that is for that part of the brain that calms that anxiety part down. That might be something you look at, you know, or meet with a psychiatrist to get some help. What are your thoughts, Alice?
Lisa, Sherry is so smart, and she knows so much, isn't she? I love listening to her. In addition to what she's, the direction in which she's pointing you, I'm really curious if you have had chaos in your life around you, maybe especially in your younger years, and if part, some of your organization, your procrastination, even the racing thoughts, might have to do with keeping some of that pain and grief at bay within your heart. Does any of that fit for you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I in my adolescent years, when I was learning who I was and what I like and didn't like, I had like a, I call it a Samson moment. I'm a black female, and I had very thick hair, and I was tender-headed. So my mother got tired of doing it, so she cut it. And it seemed like to me it took away something from me when she did that.
Wow.
And yeah, and I was molested as a child, but that was a family member, not my parents, but a family member.
Lisa, it hits me that you talk first about the haircut, which of course was painful for you and out of your control, and then you quickly add in the molestation as if it's lesser, and we can only imagine the pain you went through being molested and how as a young child that was so out of your control, and even your own physical reaction to the molestation was out of your control. It makes so much sense to me that you and your brain, your body have learned ways to deal with that unimaginable pain that you went through as a kid. And that now you're struggling with these things that probably helped you survive in your growing up years, but now you're struggling with them as an adult. Lisa, have you gotten help for that molestation that you went through?
No, I really didn't share it. I mean, my mother knows, my father knows, he's deceased now, but I had to tell my sister. So my sister told my mother what was going on, but I haven't. I went to one physical therapist, but she was mostly dealing with my impulse buying. When I go out and buy, so she gave me like a rain stick to calm me down. And then she did send me to a psychiatrist for medicine, but she was my therapist. And he gave me a medicine that it made me hallucinate so bad they took me off it right away. Yeah.
Boy, it would make sense, too, then, that you might shy away from further treatment after that kind of experience. But you have the courage to call in and talk to us and disclose this to us today. Would you let us help you take the next step of getting one-on-one, face-to-face with a therapist who can help you work through this, unravel these issues? Yes. Oh, great. We would love to help you with this. Oh, you're a brave woman.
If you'll hold on the line when we wrap this call up, the call screener that you talk to first can transfer you over to somebody who can help you with that.
Yeah. Thank you so much. And I love listening to y'all.
Well, we love that you called us. Thank you so much. I think maybe we send her to take your life back.
I think it'd be a great resource. Yeah. I think it'd be a great resource. I am struck over and over again. Alice, I'm so glad you asked her that question. How many folks have this deep wound that has never been addressed? Mm-hmm. And they see all these behaviors going on in their lives, and they're trying to make sense. Like, why do I do what I do? But, you know, peeling back the layer like you did, asking her the question, looking at how out of control she is, mm-hmm. was as a child, it just makes sense why mm-hmm. her life needs to be more in control now.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. We're going to be back after this break to take some more calls. Remember, we want you to join Club New Life because we got great benefits for you.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Every time we try to talk, it just turns into a fight. I am so tired of arguing.
I don't understand. God, why did you take him from me?
I don't want my kids to think of me as the angry dad. Why can't I control my temper?
I feel like he's more like my roommate than my husband. How did we become this distant?
I hate looking in the mirror. No matter what I try, nothing seems to work.
I just feel like my world is spinning out of control.
I feel so broken. Could God ever heal me?
Is it ever going to get better?
I feel like I'm drowning.
When will I learn to just breathe again?
It doesn't have to be this way. 48 hours could change your life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live. This is Terry McIntosh, and I want to remind you of several ways you can catch New Life Live if you miss us here on the radio. All of our shows are archived online at newlife.com, so you can listen at your convenience, and you can see what questions were asked on each program. New Life Live is also available as a podcast and in the New Life app, so you can listen on the go. And you can stream us live at 10 a.m. Pacific time at newlife.com. And if you aren't receiving the free New Life Daily Devotional, well, you're missing out. We email it to you early in the morning, so any time during the day that you need a moment to reset and refocus on God's truth,
It's right there at your fingertips. There's a sign-up link at the bottom of the homepage at newlife.com to get you started. Larry, back to you.
Thank you, Terry. One other thing that I wanted to mention is that we have a Life Recovery Conference coming up May 18th and 19th in Washington, D.C. And in the middle of that conference, we're going to have a 30th anniversary celebration. It's not a part of the conference, but we're going to do the conference on Friday afternoon and Saturday morning. And then Friday night, we're going to have a 30th anniversary celebration. It's at a church in Fairfax, Virginia. Just give us a call at 800-NEW-LIFE, and they'll give you the details. But let's go back to another call, and let's talk to Katie. She's in Denver, Colorado, listens on her app. Hi, Katie. How are you?
Hi. I'm doing well, thanks. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. How can we help you?
Okay. So my question today is regarding physical intimacy and marriage and how my husband and I can better understand each other in our needs in that area and how they differ. We've been married coming up on 4 years here. We have a couple children. We had kids right away. So we didn't have a lot of time to sort of work through a lot of this in the beginning as we were busy with kids and still are. So this has kind of been an area of tension in our marriage since we got married. Just sort of, well, we both brought things into the marriage that, you know, can, I guess, skew that view. You know, we both were raised in Christian backgrounds, but I had some relationship past issues, and my husband had some, just some struggles that he brought in to that as well. And kind of where I think our biggest tension comes in is him feeling, me feeling like every time I say, hey, maybe not tonight, I'm always met with a lot of, or I should say often, met with a lot of disappointment and frustration from him, which usually ends in an argument and not what we want.
Sure.
So I guess, yeah, my main question is, like, how does it look for the man? How does it look for the women? How has God designed this so that we can meet each other's needs? Sometimes it feels like it's kind of all his thing and his need, and I just play my role in it, and that's kind of it. I don't think that's how he wants me to feel, but that's how I feel.
Okay. So. Well, I'll make one comment and then hand it off to these two. We talk to guys at Every Man's Battle and say that too often men mistake intensity for intimacy. And it's a real intimacy question that's going on here, I think, more than a sexual question.
Right.
And I'll let you two speak to that.
Katie, I just want you to say that what you're going through is very understandable and very common, that there's a different level of intimacy desire between the two of you. And then, as you mentioned, you have a couple of young children. How many kids do you have?
We have two.
Two, okay. And do you stay at home with your two kids?
I do, yep.
Yep. So your day is probably chock full of unending needs from your children, and it can be overwhelming and exhausting. And maybe you're not even sleeping through the night regularly. Does that fit?
Yeah, that would be true.
Yes. So you may come to these moments, these opportunities for intimacy, and you are depleted already. And what we know in a physiological way about intimacy is that intimacy really can take energy from a woman, and it gives to a man. So it's energizing for a man, but it can be very tiring for a woman. So when you're already coming to the bedroom with your husband and you're depleted already, it just puts you in an unfair position. So so it makes sense. But I also want to ask, are you and your husband able to talk about this dynamic and this pattern between the two of you outside of those moments when he's asking for intimacy now? Have you had a conversation outside of that with him?
Yeah, it's definitely been, and I should say, it's gotten better. We have attended one of the family life conferences, the marriage conferences.
Great, good, yeah.
Like up in Estes Park, and that was helpful. So we do talk about it. We probably struggle expressing it in ways that we understand each other.
You know, I can't help but not step in here and say, you guys really need to come to our Intimacy in Marriage workshop. It's all about what you're talking about. It helps explain what intimacy is, how to discuss it, how to deal with it. There is so much to learn that especially Christian couples don't understand.
Because they don't know how to have the conversation that says, hey, what would help you, Katie? What is something that your husband could do to open up more time for you to have some a break? And maybe he comes home and he takes the kids and you don't have to do a thing. He cooks dinner that night. He cooks dinner and he kind of, you know, helps with the Rugrats at some level, right? Because you got a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old. And it's like he frees you up so you can even breathe and think about transitioning into some kind of intimacy.
We'll come back after the break and finish up on this call. So you hold on.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Last year after Every Man's Battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
You guys are doing God's work here. You're restoring marriages. You're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, welcome back. We're talking with Katie, and Alice, you have a couple of thoughts for Katie.
I do, Katie, and I want you to know that I'm also a mom of 3 kids, 5 and under, so I feel you where you're coming from here. I do want to direct you to what Larry was talking about, because Mylan and Kay have developed a list of questions about how we love intimacy, how we love sex or don't. And the questions help us to structure these difficult conversations outside of those moments where one of the partners, one of the spouses, is asking for intimacy. And it helps us in the direction that Sherry was taking you, which is identifying our needs and our preferences and asking for them, and even learning how to say no. So one of the questions that Mylan and Kay came up with is asking our spouse, not when they're requesting intimacy, but rather at a different time, asking them, how can I say no to you in a loving way when I'm just not feeling it, when I'm not there yet, I'm not ready for it yet? Which is a great question, and it gives your husband some input and some power and will help give you the right words. But a couple of other other things that can be helpful for moms in our position is to actually confess our struggle to safe women, because we need the feedback and the support. We need to know we're not alone. We need to know we're normal with what we're going through. We can also ask for prayer to increase our desire for our husbands. I think God loves to intervene in this because he built marriage and he built intimacy. And yet we women in particular really struggle with desire, lack of desire. The last one, I'd ask you to consider a medical checkup, because we can have very low testosterone levels, and that can just wipe out any drive for intimacy. Now, it's just real normal for new moms to be in this position, but ask for a blood test from your doctor to check your testosterone levels, because that also may be playing a role in the lack of desire.
Well, I want to thank you for calling, Katie. Tough issues, but and I want to really encourage you to go to that workshop. We're having a workshop in July 20th in D.C. It's a weekend. And then again, September 21st in Dallas. And let the call screener transfer you over to our call center. And there's somebody there that can just give you information. You don't have to make a decision today, but they can help you understand what it is and what it costs and how it works. And so thanks so much for calling. What book should we send to Katie?
Probably How We Love. I think Since you mentioned it,
yeah,
I think that would really
be a good
book.
Okay, we're going to send that to you, How We Love. All right, let's speak with Cheryl on line 2. Listens on KWRD. She's in Kingstown, Oklahoma. How can we help you?
Yes, thank you for what you do. I want to know, how do I help my child who thinks that he is a woman trapped in a man's body?
Oh, boy. Mm. Okay, well, that's shortened to the point. Tell us how old he is. When did this first start?
He's 30. He says it started when he was very young. He was molested as a child. Mm. We didn't find that out until just a couple of years ago.
Wow.
And but he says it was before that it started, but he's hidden it, and he's just now let a few people know. And he's afraid. Well, he feels like he will lose marriage, and he's afraid he'll lose his family.
I want to ask a question of you two. Is there something in the California statute that keeps counselors from taking people from this feeling of not knowing into what, you know, our statement of faith is that gender is determined at birth or in conception, and it's not a confusion fact. It's what God has, he named that gender then. But I've heard rumors that if you're a counselor and somebody comes to you and wants to get out of that in some way, that you can't try to direct them to what our statement of faith position is.
There is a definite restriction working with adolescents.
With adolescents.
That form of therapy is not allowed.
Okay.
And I know more states are moving to ban what one form of therapy is called conversion therapy.
Okay.
It particularly focuses on homosexuality,
okay,
though, and folks that want to live a heterosexual lifestyle despite homosexual desires and tendencies. And there is a ban in California on working with adolescents
that's
form.
A shame.
So the ban says what? Explain it to us, that we cannot work with them?
We cannot use conversion. Our purpose cannot be to help a homosexual adolescent move towards a heterosexual lifestyle and perspective.
Yeah.
But Cheryl,
in other words, we can't change their mind, move them to any kind of orientation.
That can't be the purpose and the intent of the therapy.
So go ahead, Cheryl's question.
Oh, Cheryl, I want to acknowledge the pain in your voice. I think I could even hear the tears in your voice as you were asking the question. What a burden to be in this situation with your son, to want to love him well. You found out about the molestation, and you don't know how to help him. Can you tell us, how have you tried to help him since he brought this to your attention? Just briefly, what are a couple of the things you've already tried?
It was just brought to my attention, and I just told him that we love him no matter what, that we will get him help to work through this, and that I will, his back is turned on God, and I told him that we will get him help to decide to find the truth, not trying to persuade him in one way or another, so that he would be open to that, but just that we will try to get him some help.
Was he molested? Was he molested by a man?
Yes.
Okay.
An older kid.
Yeah. Do you know why I'm asking that? Because sometimes molestations can be very tricky in this way. When someone is sexually violated, and was it like pre-6? Was it 6, 8?
How? It was 10-ish.
10, okay.
We're around 10.
Got it. So he was 10 years old, molested by an older boy, an older man. And so his unconscious aversion, in order to kind of try to get out from underneath the reality of that, the hurt of that, the dissonance of that, because in his mind before that, he kind of probably had his wires correct, right? He may have been, you might have watched him as a young boy be attracted to girls. He married a woman, right?
Yes.
But with this untreated, untapped, same-sex violation, it may be a pushback to want to be a female. I'm not saying for certain, right? I'm guessing. But if he could be a female trapped in a body, it might help him make sense on why that guy pursued him instead of a female. Our brain does really crazy things. And I've seen situations where somebody has had a molestation and then they kind of restory their world. They restory their gender around that defining moment instead of going in and doing some deep, deep trauma work around the sexual abuse. And I think until he gets into that sexual abuse, he's going to continue to feel disconnected and dissonant on the same side. So I would have him really look at someone who does some deep sexual abuse work, even some trauma work, some EMDR, to get out what's in there that's causing him to feel so split inside in light of his gender.
And Cheryl, I want to applaud you in how you responded to your son.
Yeah.
I think you did a beautiful job, despite your own pain or your own reaction you may have had to what he brought to you. For you to be so present and so open to him was just the right thing to do. And the fact that he even brought it to you, to me, speaks to what a safe person you are and what a good relationship foundation you must already have. And the fact that you're not pushing your agenda on him, or even pushing what you think, you know, God's agenda would be in this, I still think is the right way to go, because you need to be safe enough and open enough to continue to be an influence in his life. And so it sounds like you've already established that. So I had written EMDR down on my list as well. I think Sherry is hitting it right on the head there, that would be a great form of therapy for him. But I also want you to consider looking for support for yourself, because you're going to need to take your grief, your confusion, maybe how you feel as a mom hearing this from your son. You're going to need to take that into healing relationship to be able to get the encouragement, the support, and the direction that you'll need to continue walking alongside your son.
Cheryl, I want to thank you for the call. Tough situation. If you'll hang on, we can help you find a counselor. I want to just encourage folks. I want to encourage you. If you're part of a church, ask your church to become a Club New Life member for two reasons. Your pastor needs what we have. We have 8 books on understanding and loving a person with all these different issues. He gets approached by people and need help all the time. This would be a great help to him. He also would have a video library with scores and scores and scores of videos to help him. $30 a month, your church can afford it.
Hi, Steve Arterburn here. I'm really looking forward to being with a lot of wonderful people at our Life Recovery Conference in Washington, D.C. It's a great time to get a little boost in your recovery, gain some new insight from some great people who understand addiction, recovery, and all that the 12 steps can do down the path toward healing and hope and wholeness. Come join us for the Life Recovery Conference. It's always a great time for anyone who's interested in what are those 12 steps and how better can I utilize them in my life and my recovery. You can even learn how to run a group. Maybe you never thought about doing that, but you'll feel competent and confident after the Life Recovery Conference.
The Life Recovery Conference is coming to Washington, D.C., May 18th and 19th. To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to liferecoverygroups.com.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, welcome back. I want to encourage, we've got calls on, a lot of calls on the board. We will get to you next hour if we don't this hour, so please hold. But right now I want to go to Amy in Chesapeake, Virginia. She listens on Sirius XM and... Hello, Amy. How can we help you today?
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I was like, oh, I hope I get it before
thanks.
I get to my destination.
Thanks for holding.
So my daughter is in the military. She's been in the military now for 3 years. She has finally accepted that she does have the symptoms of depression. The problem is that she does not want to bring light to it because of her being in the military, and she doesn't want to share it with her sergeant, officer,
sure.
I'm not sure what they're called, and she doesn't want those around her because she has so many people that look up to her in it, and she's very, 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 like, structured, and she wants everything to be perfect, and she's just really, really hurting, and she calls me crying all the time, saying, I don't like feeling this way, I don't know why I feel this way, I just want to sleep all the time, and I'm just sitting in my car, and I've been sitting here for hours, and I'm like, you know, you need to get help, and you need to talk to someone. But, Mom, I don't want to. It's ruined my career. So I'm kind of stuck, because, and it's surprising that I'm stuck, because I usually have the answers. Mom always has the answer, and I'm a life coach, and I usually see clients all the time, and I can refer them to therapists for further help, of course, because I don't specialize in that. But my daughter, it's very hard to get her and push her to seek that assistance. And I just, my question is, as a parent and being in a 5 hours away from her, what can I do? What are some tips that you perhaps could share with me that I can help her or push herself to seek help?
I would really thank you for calling and reaching out on her behalf. First off, we're so grateful she's serving for us. But this is the deal. Her body is telling her the truth. Her body's not keeping the secret from her. If she was my daughter, I would probably say, honey, you always get to make choices about what you do with your life and your body and your brain. But I just want to let you know, honey, that this is not going to go away without some intervention. And I know that's not what you want to hear. I know that frightens you in light of even looking at how you might move ahead or advance, but your brain is crying out for some chemicals that it's not getting. And until you get some help, you're going to continue to feel your way, the way you're feeling. And so what do you want to do with that?
Is your daughter a Christian?
That's good.
Is your daughter a believer?
Absolutely. And that's one thing that she shares with me. You know, Mom, this is what keeps me going, is I know God is going to help me, and I know God sees this. And, you know, she actually feels sorry for those around her who suffers from depression, who don't, who are in the same situation she is, and they're not Christian. And she's trying to encourage them. But she's in a difficult spot right now. And it's just, you know, we didn't realize the depression was there until she entered into the military. That's what truly brought it out, with her being away from us and being by herself, you know, living by herself in her own apartment. And that's when we began to see bigger signs of depression, and she's finally accepting it.
Can she have any therapy intervention on base there?
She does, and that's her next step, that she finally agreed to at least go there next week, because I did do some research. I did talk to my husband's actually ex-military as well, and we were able to pull some information. And we were told that she could seek that on the base, and it would be confidential.
Perfect.
The problem is convincing her that it will be confidential. She's like, well, they say that all the time. But she has agreed to go next week to at least inquire about it.
Awesome. Awesome.
It's just my prayer that she moves forward with it.
I'm going to step in here with acknowledging my own limited understanding of how this works in the military. But Amy, I'm sorry to say, your daughter's fears about the repercussions may be very accurate. I do believe that if she receives services there from the military or through her insurance provided by the military, I would question the levels of privacy and what might need to be disclosed, what the military can have access to. I have heard, and I don't know this is true, but that there is more access, that the privacy is less guarded, especially if she accesses it through the insurance provided by the military. So I might consider something different than accessing services on base. I want to give you a couple of thoughts here. I think she could consult with a clinician outside, perhaps even through private pay. Now, that could be really expensive, and she might need your help and your husband's help there financially. But a consultation doesn't go on record if she's not yet a patient of that person. And if she asks a private clinician completely outside of the military, if she paid privately, I would ask what access the military can have to those records, because that might be more guarded and give her more peace of heart and mind to get those services. But maybe a lower level intervention might be one of the treatments for depression is getting in relationship with a clinician might be your best bet. But if she can't go that route yet because of the repercussions, would she consider joining even just a support group at church, a life group at church? That might be a safe start, depending on how severe her symptoms of depression are. But perhaps while looking for a private practice clinician, in addition, a support group through church that's not related to the military, because I do think she has to guard her privacy and also pick her pain, meaning by that there may be risks involved in getting treatment. There are risks to her career in the military. But as Sherry pointed out, if the depression is severe enough, that might be a risk very well worth taking to safeguard her life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I 100% agree.
I've got two thoughts. One is I know of some of our counselors in the Virginia, Washington, D.C. area. So I know there are some really good counselors in our network. The other thing is, as a Christian, your daughter seems to be set on a military life. It seems like it's generational. But she might consider that God works in ways that we don't understand sometimes. Mm. Maybe, you know, this, I'm not suggesting this is the case, but just to put a seed of thought is maybe God's speaking to her that there's something other than the military that she could succeed at and do well with, and deal with her depression and not feel threatened by it. So it's just a thought.
Like maybe being a military therapist or being a therapist outside for people in the military. Who knows?
Right.
You know, the world is often comes to us with these unexpected curveballs.
Well, that's what I mean. God works through surprises and interruptions.
I know. I never knew as a pastor's wife that I would be a therapist someday, right? Who knows?
I laughed the first time somebody asked me to interview for a ministry. I said, yeah, right, me, working for a church. So, you know.
Here you are.
Yeah. Sherry, give us a little scripture to close out the program with.
Yeah, I just wanted to read from Proverbs 12:18. It says, "The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise bring healing." And it just makes us think about what we say and to really be careful about how words come out of our mouths, because they can either cut or encourage. And so just be mindful today with your kids, with your spouses, with your friends, that offer them a word of wisdom instead of one of pain.
Well, there was words of wisdom that came from the two of you today that helped a lot of people. So thank you for that. I want to just close by asking for your financial support. And two things. Help your pastor become a Club New Life member. Have your church pay for it. You pay for it. $30 a month. The benefits will be well worth it for him or her. And also, I forgot what the also was. Can you imagine that? Well, I'll tell you also the next time I host on the program, okay? Have a good day.
We love you.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.